not just because bank accounts and because of certain individuals in your life or frustrations that show up in your life. There's just a sense in the atmosphere that has been going forth for quite some time. And we have to discern it. We have to understand that the enemy has sent distractions our way. Have you witnessed the distractions in your life? Has there been quite a few distractions? What are we doing with the distractions that have come our way? Are we entertaining it? You don't have to answer, because then that would speak of where your faith is at. Are we listening to what is entering our ear gates? Or are we trusting? We have to be at that resolve in our spirit to know that God has called us to shut some doors. So tonight I want to speak to you about shutting the doors. We have to shut the doors to distraction, but we first have to discern whether it's a distraction or is it a tool that God wants to use. How many of you have felt during the walk, Christian walk, you know, it's so rosy, posy, nice and beautiful. The birds are always chirping. It's always sunshine and it's spring, never hot, never dry. That's not your walk? What? Come on, come on. I thought everybody had a great walk with Jesus, that we could just walk hand in hand and sing Kumbaya and have a good old time. That's not what's happening? Are you walking with Jesus and you're really looking at him like, what? Because that's how I walk with him. You bringing me where? I thought I've been in this season before. And then we see it again. And then we wonder, what? Come on, come on. Don't make me work on this one. Let me have Josh relax a little bit today. Okay? He's frustrated too. He's like, Pastor, I gotta keep working for you like this. Just playing, just kidding. But there are some things that come in our life and that we think that a lot of it is based on our actions. Do you not? Come on. Sometimes when you try to process everything, is it a little bit too spiritual? Should I break it down on how it really applies to your life? How many of you know Zig Ziglar? Zig Ziglar. And so he comes to talk to you about kids, right? No? Zig Ziglar comes to talk to you about what? Motivation and motivating you to do what? To achieve, reach your goals. What else? Talk to me now. Success. Wait a minute. So we'll pay someone to come in and we'll sit in a classroom and get a handout from Zig Ziglar. It's not cheap. It's not cheap. Oh, we'll pay it because success is around the corner for me. Come on, if y'all know who Zig Ziglar is, he'll tell you what you need to do, how it needs to be done to achieve success. So I took a class and I went. I was getting motivated, getting pumped, getting all excited. I didn't see no success. Put everything to exactly how you said to do it. See, the thing is we think that because we go to a class, we get the handout, we take all of the little quizzes that they give you to make sure that you've actually been listening or at least reading the handouts, and then we participate within the class, so we have class participation, but then when it comes down to the actuality of applying the thing into your actual life, a lot has to determine whether or not you're going to be consistent. Oh. Consistent. Are you consistently pursuing greatness? Hello? Do we need to serve coffee on Wednesday nights? Are you tired? I'm tired too. But we tired of a... We're tired of going through it. It's kind of like when there hasn't been any rain and the ground begins to dry up and it begins to crack. You know, you walk out of your front yard, you're like, oh, Lord, earthquake just came through here. And then you wonder, why is it cracking? But it's so that when the rain does come, it goes deeper. Okay, hold up now. See, when you're in a season of your life where everything's going good, the rain is coming down, the birds are chirping, and the butterflies are just fluttering all around you, telling you how great you are. But when it comes to a drought, the rain quits falling. The birds quit chirping. The butterflies don't even come around you. Then you wonder, what happened? But then the season continues to go even longer and longer and longer. Does it not? Come on, is it just me? Am I preaching to myself? Okay, I'll preach to myself because y'all get offended easy, right? Okay, so I want to talk about y'all. Okay, go on. I'll preach to one person here. Watch this. But then when the season keeps going that way, it's allowing for your foundation to find the cracks. Okay. When you find the crack, then you're going to try to go and fill the crack. Now, I know about plants and I know about some flowers. But if you go and just put soil on top of the cracks, you've actually hindered what nature was originally designed to do. So you can't fill the crack with more soil. You've got to fill it with water. And not just any water. Water that has been through a storm that has had its charge from the lightning up above. It charges it so that when it goes into the ground, it begins to have all of the ions that came from the sky to generate and regenerate the roots. So there's life in the water. But if we go through the process and we negate certain processes that God has for us because we frustrate it, then we're going to miss what he had for us. If you were here on Sunday, preach the message. If you missed this on the podcast, I didn't know you got a podcast. Go to our website. You got a website? Yeah. TheHouseOfManna.com. And then if you go on there, it says media. You click on media and it says sermons. You click on sermons and all of the messages are there for you for free. Free. For free. I said, Lord. And then the Lord said, Marty. Yeah. I said, did you know that other churches charge for this? And they make CDs and they sell it. And the Lord said, Marty. I said, yes, Lord. That's not what I told you to do. I know, but I'm trying to talk to you. Can you change your mind? Why am I saying this? I come from the street, mama. Because back in the day, being on the street, you gave me... No, hold up now. I don't know how safe we are in here, and I don't want to offend anybody. But I knew if I had a little, I knew how to get more. Just leave it like that. You had to get more. Okay. So some of y'all went really out there. I used to gather cans. Or back in the day, you used to return the bottles for deposit.
Oh, see, now you're starting to follow me. Oh, that's right. We got a good pastor in here.
I used to take the bottles back across the street to Piggly Wiggly. Y'all don't know about Piggly Wiggly, but I used to live in these apartments that were right across the street from Piggly Wiggly, and I used to get these bottles, and any bottles I could find, I'd go across the street to Piggly Wiggly, and I'd get me some money. But with that money, what I would do is I'd go to my friends and say, hey, I'll go buy you some candy, but it's going to cost you more. Entrepreneur, young age. I went and got it, bringing it to you. There's a service fee. I was elementary school. Shoot, I working it. Working. Now watch this. So I knew how to get more. You know, you buy those, you know, those. Mama looking at me like, you never told me that. There's some things you don't need to know, Mama. She said, like, don't worry. You're going to say it at your church anyhow. Okay, now watch this. They used to sell these candies. You know those individual Jolly Ranchers? Y'all know about those, right? The hard ones? You see, and at the store, they used to have these sour pickles and the dill pickles. And they used to keep them in this cooler so that the pickles were nice and cold. And so what we used to do, we used to get those red-hot Jolly Ranchers, and we put it in the middle of the pickle. But see, a lot of my friends didn't have the money to buy the pickle. They had enough money to buy the Jolly Ranchers because you used to get three of them for 10 cents. But they didn't have 50 cents to get the pickle. But watch this. Are you eating a pickle right now? Oh, I thought I saw a pickle. I said, look, that's the Lord just confirming everything. But watch. So watch. Then what I would do is I would go find bottles that they left around in the apartment complex. And I would take in the Piggly Wigglies and I would go and exchange it. And I would get money, the deposit back. It wasn't my bottles. Somebody left them. They throw out trash. It's my treasure. I picked it up. I got it. I would go buy the pickles and I would sell the pickles for a dollar. Hold up now. They didn't have money for the pickle before I came to them. How is it that they found money when I had it? All right now. Mama didn't know there was some money being taken, but it's all right. So then I would have extra. I wouldn't take my mom's money. I said, they all of a sudden had money. So I'd make a little bit of money. So then when mom would come home, I knew the time she would drive up. I could know when that car was coming over the second bump into the apartment complex. I knew when it was coming. I could hear the motor. I could hear the brakes. It was just squeaking, just in the right tone. Mama's on her way. I'm going to wait for mama because then from here, we're going to go to Wins. Remember Wins? Okay, we're going to go to Wins. And at Wins, there was this skateboard. It was fiberglass. You know, they made it look nice and pretty, like, ooh, it's nice and shiny. I got to have one of those. So I knew that I wanted that, so I'm going to have to make what I have to do to get it. So I did all of that, getting pickles and buying stuff, and I was selling them. And one day, mom just looked at me and said, you want that skateboard? I said, I want that skateboard. I was getting ready to pull my money out, and she bought it for me. Didn't know I had the money. Watch what I did. Didn't know anything about God. I knew nothing about God at that time, even though I went with grandma everywhere. Y'all know about mama. Mama, she didn't ask you if you wanted to go. Ain't that right? Mama did not ask you if you wanted to go to church. That's mom's mom. My grandma. She don't ask any. You, come on, we're going. Where are we going? Don't you ask where we go. You just get in the bus right now. We're going. Okay, now listen. So, I happen to go the following weekend. I go to church service. Now, go to a cathedral downtown, and they pass this basket. Some of y'all are bad. Y'all think I was taking money out of it. See, y'all went in the wrong direction. I know y'all ain't safe for real. Watch it. So the basket goes in front. Now, I'm going to tell you about the basket. There wasn't those that you passed the basket. I don't know about that long stick where they got that stick from, but it, and it went like for 50 yards that way. And they would bring it. And all of a sudden, something just touched my heart. I don't know. I didn't know anything about it. I was little. I was at West Avenue Elementary School. I was a wildcat. You remember West Avenue? Come on. West Avenue. I was in elementary. I didn't know about tithing. And they don't teach tithing. I reached in my pocket. All that money I had. My grandmother looked at me. Spanish, nothing but Spanish. Mijito, ¿por qué estás llorando? I gave him all my money. See, it wasn't yours. A kid? My pocket, it was mine. And she said, it was the Lord's. Okay. That was that week. That's just a week. I forgot where I was going with this. Y'all looking at me. How'd you go from Zig Ziglar to Piggly Wiggly, Wins, skateboard, giving your money? That's this. Because the principle that Zig Ziglar teaches is the same principle that you read in your Bible. And you know, I didn't have to spend $100 to go and see Zig Ziglar. I just put it to use. So what I sowed out of my heart, oh, and it was hard. It was hard. I worked hard for my money. I worked hard for my money. I gave it all as a little kid. But then that showed the principle is that what you do as a sacrifice, God will give back. Now, fast forward all these years. Now I'm working for this Fortune 500 company, and I'm sitting in this lecture, and he begins to say a story. Zig Ziglar talks about when he gave something that was very precious to him, and when he gave it, he gave from his heart. And what it did, it showed him a principle. What you want to do and what you want to get is what you're going to have to give. So when I'm writing this down, I'm that, give and what you want. And, okay. So I start thinking about this. Then I start going to church with mom again as I'm older now. And I'm sitting there at the top balcony at Cornerstone Church. And I hear almost identical what Zig Ziglar says. Pastor Hagee begins to talk about what you want, you have to give to get what you're going to want. But it's going to cost you something. I understand all that. It's like, what? Here I'm hearing it again. So, okay, teenager now. Teenagers know everything. Y'all are so smart as teenagers. They know they should be doctors right now. Ain't nobody going to go to them, but they should be doctors. Now, well, watch. Y'all know how y'all were, too. Don't act like they're just the teenagers now. Y'all were teenagers, too. Y'all knew it all. Now, so I walked down from the balcony. Remember the balcony? I used to sit at the very corner at the top of the balcony, and I would come walking all the way down. So as I came down, what I had in my pocket at that time was what my mom gave me to go clean. I got nightmares still. True story. Do I use yours and Hannah's brush? No. You know why I don't use it? Because every time I would clean those brushes at the beauty salon, it would gross me out with all that hair. True story. I bought a brand new hairbrush about a year ago, and there goes my daughter, Hannah. And it's just like it. Y'all know that cousin it? Y'all know cousin it? There's nothing but hair from the Addams Family. There's just all this hair, and I think it's moving. But that's my fear. And so I have to take all the hair off, and that just reminded me of what I had to do. I used to clean my mother's beauty shalop. The shop, I had to clean the brushes, and she would give me money. So what I would do is use that money and you know, to get for gas and this and that. But when I was there at church, I had just got money from my mom. I say, I was working as well, so I went and I gave again. Now, when I gave, you remember this? I was fasting for that truck. Remember that truck, my little base truck? I was fasting for it. And she says, what are you doing? I'm fasting, I'm praying, and I'm believing I'm going to get this truck. I'm fasting. I'm believing. I'm praying. I'm going to get this truck. My mom said, good. You're going to stay doing that. But it's going to cost you something. So I kept testing it. Like, this isn't a sermon on tithing. Just listen. So I went and I kept going. I kept hearing Pastor Hagee. I said, okay, here we go. I'm going to give. So I give. Mama, did I get the truck? Oh, I got that truck. I got, not in my name. Of course, she had to get the loan, but I got the truck. It happened.
I was so determined. I was again. I dragged my mom out of the house in her slippers and her nightgown because it was right there on the corner at a car lot right there on Vance Jackson. I said, "Mom, come here. I'm gonna go show you the truck I want to get. It's the middle of the night. Let's just drive over there." So we drove over there, and I showed. I said, "That's it right there. It has those fog lamps up there, you know." And it had a little. It was a beige little Toyota. I don't know why it had fog lights on there. It was just a 2-wheel drive. It wasn't 4-wheel drive, but it looked like it was tough. But the Lord honored my faith, and he honored what I was doing by sacrificing. Now, it wasn't what Mama told me to do. It wasn't what my grandmother told me to do. It wasn't what Zig Ziglar was telling me to do. It wasn't what Pastor Hagee was telling me to do. It was what the Lord put on my heart to do. And I started doing it. I didn't know the principles. I just knew that every time I gave to the church and I prayed and believed, something good came out of it. That's how I was raised. I was looking at it. I saw it. Sold a lot of pickles. And I got to give my money that I sold all those pickles for. I gave it all. I could get real deep with you right now. That was my first fruits that was sown. It wasn't a tenth of everything. It was all of what I earned. And I gave first fruits. I didn't know anything about first fruits. I knew I was selling fruit. Okay. But then I saw how God honored it, right? Now, let's fast forward a bit. Now, here I am. I get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I start pursuing what God has called me to do. How many of you have been there? We should all be like, yeah, I got saved. Okay, just making sure. We'll do altar call right now. Okay, so we get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost. We start pursuing after God. We start reading the Word. We start praying. We learn about fasting. We start fasting. We learn about tithing. We start tithing. And we start doing the things that he's telling us to do, right? You think everything would go exactly as you plan? Why are y'all shaking y'all's head? Has it happened to you? You give, you fast, you pray, you do the Lord's work, right? And everything goes good. Why y'all laughing? Do you get challenged? Are you getting tested? Are you getting frustrated? Is negativity starting to come and laugh at you? Not you laugh at you, but negativity laughs at you. Right? Because negativity is starting to set in. Negativity starts coming around when you start doubting the process that he's been training you up in. You understand? And then all of a sudden, something presents itself to you. What are you going to do? Huh? That's it, right? She said, I'm going to go back to the hood. I'm going to jump on that thing. I'm going to just go at it. I'll take matters into my own hands. Shoot. But watch it. Whew, I know we need to pray for some sinners in it. No, I'm just playing. What I want you to do, if you would, please go with me to Mark chapter 5. I set this up to let you know, even though we do everything we're supposed to do, everything that we're doing in service unto God, and everything that he's called us to do, and we're doing it, things still go wrong. Are you ready? The title of this message is Shut the Doors. Mark 5 at verse 21. Mark 5 verses 21 through 24. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, say it with me now, synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Jesus went to Jairus' house to heal the little girl. He shut the door to distractions. You're looking like, that's not in there. No, I'm just adding that. So Jesus went with him, and Jesus went to Jairus' house. Now watch this. Here's what I want to share with you, that
Jairus is a synagogue leader. Now, a leader in the synagogue really means he is actually one of the ones that are in charge of the house of worship. You understand that? What would that be? That's not the one that just has keys to the church to let people in. He's the one that's actually doing the service for God. Is actually doing what needs to be done for the kingdom of God, correct? Or do you read it that way as well? So in other words, you would read it, one of the ministers of the house of God, his daughter was sick to the point of dying. Now, as you read that, you would think, I've been doing everything I'm supposed to do. But yet, my daughter's sick to the point of dying. Wouldn't that mess with your faith? Wouldn't that mess with your tenacity to keep moving forward? You've been doing everything in the church that you're supposed to be doing. You've been praying, fasting, doing your service unto the Lord. But yet, the one that is close to you, this is Jairus' daughter. You know men and their daughters. They're close. This is what he does. Did he stay there? Did Jairus stay there at the synagogue? No. What did he do? He left. He left the synagogue. Did he go home to his daughter? Where'd he go? Oh, he went to Jesus. Oh, hold up now. There is something that is troubling his little daughter to the point of death. He doesn't go home to spend time with the daughter because she's sick. He goes where? To Jesus. We have to get an understanding. There may be something going on in our life right now, but sometimes we don't have to put our focus on the individual or the circumstance. We got to get to Jesus. We have got to get to Jesus. We have got to get beyond the thing that is causing so much distraction. Now, hold up. Now, that is the daughter. That's his daughter. He's in the church, you know, he's over there, you know, taking care of business in the church, but yet his daughter's sick to the point of dying. And instead of going to go and be with his daughter, he goes and he seeks Jesus. That's the principle right there. Whenever you're facing something to the point of death or to the point that is so serious and severe in your life, don't address your problem or your circumstance. Go to Jesus. Get to his feet. What did he do? He fell at his feet. What did he do? He fell to the one that can make change in his life. He said, earnestly, he pleaded with them, earnestly, come to my house so that you can lay hands on my daughter. He prayed. He prayed at the very feet and worshiped him. I can't make this situation change in my daughter's life. I can't give all these kind of medications and pray that she's going to be all right. I need you to come over here. Do you understand that? There's some very serious things that are going on. He could have thought very positively, like Zig Ziglar teaches you to think very positive. You got to think very positive. You know, there's a lot of positive thinking brings positive results. Do you believe that? Don't believe it. It's a lie. You can think positive, but that doesn't make positive things happen. You've got to do positive things, and then positive things will result from it. Even though when something is not looking like it's positive, the end result will be. Why? Because what you sow into is what you reap. And you know, everybody's talking about you got to think positive and be positive, and everything will be all right. I have met with people like that, and they are so messed up. Well, I'm going to keep being positive about my situation. You can be positive about it, but if you don't change or do anything about it, you're going to be in that situation. You've got to do something. So I said, Lord, something's going on in my life. I need to get to your feet. I don't need to go to my problem. I need to get to your feet. And when I get to your feet, I petition you, petition earnestly, come into my house. Oh, hold on now. How many of you would allow God really into your house? No. I ain't talking about the door that you open up the door and get in your house and then they start seeing. I'm talking about your house. Mm-hmm. You know that issue that he's been dealing with for a long time? You know, that long time he's been dealing with it. He wants to get in there. He
wants to get right there.
See, this was a Jewish synagogue official. Jesus, all along, was trying to get to the Jewish society to speak to them about who he is. Jairus knew something about Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. Jesus hadn't come to the synagogue and began to do all the great miracles yet. What it was, he understood there's a great healer out there. And his name is Jesus, and he's coming through town, and I've got to go and find him and get him to come make change in my life. Do you understand that? Now, let's jump down a couple of verses here. Let's jump down to 35, verse 35. Verse 35 says, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid. Just believe. Verse 37, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. Watch this. But they laughed at him. I love this next part right here. They laughed at him. Look at what Jesus did. After he put them all out. Are you reading your Bible?
Yeah.
Am I adding anything?
No.
They laughed at him. What did Jesus do? He put them out. Yeah. Oh, Jesus is loving.
Yeah.
He's accepting of all people. Doesn't care about your background. Doesn't care where you've been, where you're going. Laugh at him. He's going to put you out.
Yeah.
It's what the Bible said. Laugh at him. He put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old, and at this time they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them, give her peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, that's what helps. Now watch this. How many times have things been so desperate in your life that you have other people mocking your belief? Mocking everything that you've been laboring for. Have you ever had a determination just to do the will of God? Come on now, be honest. You can say, well, sometimes I do. That happens. Life comes at you, and you're like, it's kind of hard. I'm going to hold up a little bit. But the reality is, every time you purpose to do the will of God, something is coming to challenge it. It's going to challenge it. Those are the distractions. Distractions. And then he has to tell them, y'all need to leave. Y'all need to leave. He put them out. I'm not going to have all this kind of distraction in the midst of something that I must do on behalf of Jairus, because he implored me to come into the house to heal his daughter. I am on a mission, but I don't need you fools out here laughing and joking and carrying on. Most of all, crying and wailing like some fools, because you don't understand that life just entered in. Death will always come to speak to your circumstance. But Jesus is the life that will come into your circumstance and put life in it and take it by its hand and tell it to get up. Regardless of what the circumstances and regardless of who's on the outside, the naysayers and those that are coming against you, those that are laughing at you, those that are ridiculing you, and those that are telling you you're Jesus that you're serving. And you're not even serving all the way. Did I just throw you for a loop? You know how many people measure whether or not you're truly following after Jesus? Based on their own belief? Based on their own ignorance? I'm going to judge
Just play. You're not really a Christian. I discern that. Wouldn't that make you mad? You better back up. How about somebody coming to you? You're not really a minister. You can go to seminary school. How about this one? You're not really saved. I get told that all the time. That's how I know I'm saved. Because I didn't react the way I used to react. That's how I know I'm saved. Yeah, y'all want to get a little spiritual on me. Oh, you're a pastor. You shouldn't have been acting that way anyways. No. Quit acting that way. We all fall short of the glory of God. We are not perfect. We're being perfected until the perfect one comes. Do you understand that? After the perfect one comes, we become perfect. Up until then, we're being made perfect. Even when we go through a season of drought and the cracks are being revealed in our life, then God says, that's the thing I want to get into. Let me in there so I can fill it back up. And the people that are around you that are causing the cracks to be revealed is a tool so that I can get in that place. Now, if you continue to respond the way you've been responding, shut the door. Shut the door. Because out of your mouth comes life and death. What are you going to do? Are you going to speak to your circumstance and say, oh, Lord, she's dying. That's what the people were doing at Jairus' house. Wait a minute. Are you following me? Y'all see, sometimes y'all just read scripture. You need my Bible. Mine's a little bit different. Here's how mine reads. Mine reads that the preacher man walked into church service and said, hold up now. Everything that's going on here is not working at my house. Everything that you're preaching out of the Pentateuch is not working. First five books of the Bible, Pentateuch. That's what they had. The scrolls of Isaiah. That's what they were going over. It wasn't working. But I heard in a distance about a Jesus that was healing people. I got to my church service. I said, I ain't going to be in here today because y'all keep doing things the same way and expecting a different result. But there's somebody out there that has an answer to my situation. And I've got to leave where I'm at to get to his feet. Oh, but you know all the elders in the church went sideways on him. The greeters and the porters on the way out as Jairus was leaving had to tackle him and said, you can't leave. You're the preacher. Y'all don't have that version of the Bible? Are you seeing this? He was the head of the church. What does that mean? Act one, scene one, Jairus at work. Turn with me in your Bibles, please. We are going to read out of the scrolls about... No, we're not. My daughter's sick, and there's this Jesus out there that I hear about. I can't do nothing about this situation, but he can. And I've got to leave. Somebody else is going to have to step up and read that word, and I got to go. He leaves the sanctuary. He left the donuts and the coffee aside. He kept on walking past the beautiful flowers. He said bye to the greeter. And Darlene said, don't go. Listen. See, some of y'all are like, I'll read your Bible, Pastor. But where are you getting this from? You have to understand something. That when they took this position, they took it very serious. Very serious. They were held in high regards. Can you imagine? Darius just. Think about it.
He leaves to get to the feet of Jesus. He didn't go home. Okay? Who is at home? That's, say it again. Family. What were they doing? Oh, wait, hold up now. Where was the family? At home. So they weren't in the church service. Right? They weren't in the church service. They were tending to the daughter who was sick. Right?
Right.
Listen now. You say, you can't read the Bible and just skim through it. You can't. Please, I charge you, take your time. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you as you read the Bible. Think about their positions. Think about the setting and where they're at. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not stopping. Can you put your right hand on her shoulder right there? In the name of Jesus, Father, I just thank you right now for the clarity, and I thank you for peace that surpasses all understanding. The same Jesus that entered into the home and touched her and lifted her by the hand is lifting you by the hand right now. You felt the fluttering in your stomach when I was speaking about it. You felt the chills go down the back, and you felt it begin to radiate heat through your body. Healing and virtue has come to you, beloved. And I declare unto you that your body, your temple, your home, in the name of Jesus, is healed, says the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. All right, now, Josh, come on, Josh. Come on, Josh. Whoo, my God. Jairus left, and his family was there with the daughter crying. That tells me the same thing, is that they must have been sitting in church services for a very long time petitioning God, Yahweh, for what? A miracle. Crying out, my daughter, she's sick. My niece, my sister. Someone in their family had been crying out. And the pastor, the preacher that was supposed to be preaching to the people said, I can't do it this way. I've got to do something different. I've got to get to the very feet of Jesus. And I've got to implore him to come into my home and do what he is already anointed to do. To do what? Heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. Let's not forget that when he goes into the synagogue, he reads the Bible, the same scripture that out of the synagogue that they read. He says, today, he opens up the Bible, he goes to the prophet Isaiah, he begins to read that today I've been anointed to preach good news, to set the captives free, to heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. And he left. He said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears and in your sight. Darius remembered, wait a minute, this Jesus is the one that said he can raise the dead, he can heal the sick. He recognized something. He didn't quite understand who this Jesus, but he understood what he needed for his daughter was right there at his feet. So when the Jesus gets there, he says, no. There's a whole crowd that is following Jesus. A whole crowd that is following him. And he says to the disciples, I want you and you to follow me. I want nobody else to come. And then when I get there, I'm only taking in the one that has a heart for that girl. In desperation, mom and dad and the disciples went in and they shut the door. Shut the door. Then Jesus reaches down to her and grabs her by the hand. Talitha kumi. Arise. Arise, little girl. Arise. I'm speaking to you about the dead things in your life, the things that you hold precious, the things that you have been holding on dear, you've been fasting for, praying for, believing for, and holding on, but you have seen no end. You saw it getting worse and worse and worse to the point of death. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is coming right into your home to bring life into that situation. He's going to speak life and not death, but he's going to put every naysayer out. He's going to put everyone out that comes against you. He's going to put everybody out that is not for you. Woo. We got to shut the door to the distractions that have come into our life. And those distractions sometimes can be family members. Those family members can come in and keep you from the perfected will of God for your life. Your family members will be the ones crying out for real pain and for a real reason. But they don't understand what God has put inside of you. Where you're going and where He's going to take you. And you have got to see past the distraction and hold to the faith and keep moving forward. And He's about to do great things. And if you think you have some things in your life that can't be changed, let them in. Let them in. Let them come to the inner parts of your life. Shut the door. Then you start shutting that negativity that comes. That negativity that's around you comes from inside of you as well. And then it causes you to begin to speak negative. And when the more you speak negative, you begin to create negative atmosphere around you. And in the atmosphere that is charged for negativity, guess what's going to happen? Negative things begin to happen. We have got to understand, distractions are there. They're always there. But we've got to shut the door to distractions. We have to. If you're not careful, you'll lose your own life. You'll be 6 feet under. Looking at me like, Pastor, what are you saying? Some of you in this room right now are doing things you know you're not supposed to be doing. You know it. God knows it. He has spoken to you about it, but you still do it. You're playing with grace. When the hand of God is removed off of you like the hedge of protection, you will be crying for mercy. Mercy. We've played with the grace enough. We have to let God be God. And let us be the sons and daughters that allow Daddy to train us up. And that we shut the door of negativity, doubt, and fear. Fear is what had those people outside the room crying, wailing. And Jesus put them all out. Because the things and the miracles that are going to transpire in your life, not everybody's going to be there. And not everybody's going to understand either. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Let Him bring a revelation that you've been asking for and clarity that you've been seeking. Let Him bring it to you. Some people are going to try to keep you from pursuing after Him and try to pull you back. Don't give in to the pull. Just pull on Jesus. Pull on Jesus. There's about to be a download of revelation that you're going to begin to write and write and write and write and write. It's going to be articulated based upon your emotions and your feelings and what you've experienced over the course of your life. But God is going to bring to fruition what He has said He's done. He's been giving you visions for the past month. Visions. Beloved, I encourage you to know that the Holy Spirit is beginning to do a great work inside of you. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. He will finish the work that He started. And every word that proceedeth out of His mouth will not return void unto you. You are a precious gem in His eyes. Precious. And He holds you dear in His hands. He's protected you and will continue to protect you. Bring your peace into your heart. God bless you, Lord. Bless you. Hallelujah. Lord, you're so good. I thank you. Turn with me to 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. We begin reading 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets, in other words, the wife of a prophet, cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys and as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all of your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. So she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me one more. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. What must we do, beloved? We got to hear the word of God, obey the word of God, activate on the word of God, and move on the word of God. It is behind the closed doors that the activation takes place. When the activation takes place, you'll begin to see manifestations. You have got to close the door to all the negativity. Here's what I want to challenge you with. If you've had people in your life, you know, the ones that text you, call you, email you, Instagram, Twitter you, everything kind of social media, kind of negativity, cut them loose. Cut them loose. Because if you don't cut them loose, you're going to wind up following after negativity. That negativity is going to continue to manifest in your life, and out of your mouth will become death. You'll speak death into your promise and death into your circumstance. What we need to do is speak life. Be activated and shut the door. Some of us need to shut the door of our ear gates. We've been hearing too much mess, and we're acting on the mess that we hear. Fear is an offspring of doubt. And what happens with fear is you begin to operate out of your emotions. And out of your emotions based out of fear will lead you down the wrong path every time. You have to trust God, stand firm on what he's told you, and watch it manifest in your life. Even if it's a long time, watch. But shut the door to negativity and distractions in your life. Distractions will come. They're gonna come. They're there to get you off course. But don't let it take root. And don't let them take you off course. Continue on the path that God has for you. Continue. Amen. Put your Bibles away. Put your notes away if you would, please. Shutting the door to distractions and shutting the door to negativity. The Lord has a word for this house. And it's to shut the door. We must shut the door to every lying spirit that wants to kill vision and purpose. Hold your ground. Hold your position and stand firm. If you feel like the cracks are being revealed, get ready, because he's about to fill it. He's about to fill it. If you've gone through a dry season in your life, he's about to turn it around. Hold on and don't let go. God is on the move, and let us wait, because he's getting ready to come right by you. When you begin to pull on him, He's going to turn and address you. This Sunday, I'm going to talk about the push and the pull on God. I believe that this Sunday is going to be a service about healing. Many will be healed. I believe it because I've sensed it in my spirit. And I know that God is up to doing something great for His glory. His glory. This isn't about an individual. This isn't about a prophet. This isn't about a teacher. This is about Jesus Himself coming into your area of your life, your circumstance, to bring life and not death. So I pray that you are encouraged tonight, that you will shut the door. Frustration. Shut the door to negativity. Shut the door to those that are laughing. Just like Jesus did. Jesus put them out. You read it. He put them out. It's time for us to put them out. Before you get all crazy and start cutting people off in your life. Don't look at your spouse and don't say, all right, I got to cut you out. That's not what he's talking about. You're like, dang, I got to just, psh, you're done. Can't look at your kids. I got to cut you out. No, you don't do that. Just don't let that negative talk come your way. Zip it. I don't want to hear it. Zip it. What is it that there's that movie? You're doing this and I want you to do this. Master of Disguise. Right, Josh? Master of Disguise. You're doing this, but I want you to do this. Right? Now listen. Hey, that's pretty bad, right? But a lot of people that talk a lot. Okay, just got a few minutes and then we're done. Josh, you can go ahead and stop the recording, Josh. I got off a phone call today. It challenged me. Boy, did it challenge me.